Okay, let's concentrate on the word. Sorry about that. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to read the whole thing. All right, so let's go. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, and from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong, and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from adulteress and from wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it.
Yeah, we've about 18 months ago, we planted a church in the town that we live in. There not being one that was really you could take anybody who was not saved to. And we're a leadership team, myself and a few other guys, and one of them is a bricklayer called Keith, who's about 4'8". And so we're always having this argument about the appropriate height of a microphone stand. So I'm glad that this is roughly about the right length here. We've just come down to visit you, not directly from Wales. We've come via Penrith, Skipton, Cambridge, and Barking. And so we finally arrive in Bethnal Green, which is a real blessing. And we're going through in our church a series on 1 Corinthians at the moment. And my last message on that I had to preach on that was on sexual immorality. So we're going a bit of a sea change here for me with Proverbs, which is fantastic. I've never preached from Proverbs yet, so we'll see how it goes. Hang on to your seats. I like what Billy Crystal said about the search for wisdom. He said that by the time a man is wise enough to watch his step, he's too old to go anywhere. But what is this? This chapter starts off with these words, and they seem to resonate with how Darren has led us this morning. Turn your ear to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Call out for insight. Cry aloud for understanding. Search for hidden treasure. And this is our challenge today. This is what I hope we can do today together. And we're going to, what are we going to search for? What are we going to cry out to the Lord for? Well, there's five things that I'd like us to look at. I think we're going to be searching for his presence, the presence of the Lord, his words, the words of the Lord, his righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord, his paths, the ways of the Lord, and his land, the land of the Lord. You will find all these in this chapter. And we kick off with the presence of the Lord. This, the search for wisdom, is personal. It's not impersonal. Wisdom is found in the context of relationship. Wisdom is not dry, theoretical, or academic. It does not depend on natural intelligence or the ability to remember complex laws and codes. Praise the Lord. I'm still in here. It is not at such a high and rarefied level as to be out of reach for the ordinary person like you and me. Wisdom is fundamentally not about academics, science, law, or literature, though it connects with and can embrace them all. Wisdom is not impersonal. Wisdom is found at the feet of the one who loves us most, our Creator, who himself is a relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. That's where we find wisdom. That's our source. That's our place of understanding that exists nowhere else. We can find information, intelligence, knowledge, or learn skills all by ourselves. But this will, outside of our relationship with Him, not give us wisdom or understanding. Our human quest for knowledge helps us answer such questions as what, how, when, where, who. But our quest for the Lord and His wisdom and understanding brings us to answer the question why, or what for, how for, when for, where for, who for. It is the question that brings meaning and purpose to everything else. The why makes sense of all the other questions and answers. And it only happens in the context of relationship with Him. Wisdom is not only found in the context of relationship. Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We find Him here in Proverbs. It's not just that it's out of our relationship. He is the wisdom. As Paul says in Corinthians, to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks. So that's what we are here, Jews and Greeks. All sorts of different kinds of people, different backgrounds, coming from different sets of beliefs, Jews and Greeks. To those whom God has called, Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. He is wisdom personified. As I get to know Jesus, I find wisdom. It's that simple. And it tells us to cry out for it, to search for it. I love the words of David in Psalm 63. We're going to look at them now. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Here is a man expressing his longing for Jesus. And in that longing for Jesus, that longing for Christ, for his presence, it brings us life, satisfaction, peace, meaning, understanding, and wisdom. You know, through the lens of Jesus and his plans and purposes for nations, we can understand what is going on. We can interpret what is happening in the nations around us, what is happening in our city, through the lens of the wisdom that we meet in Jesus Christ. So wisdom is a person, and it's personal. As we cry to the Lord in Proverbs 2, we're also told to encourage to store up, accept my words and store up my commands. What does that mean? From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We've got the next slide, I think, shows a few verses that refer to God's words. And here it's called the law. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. That's Joshua. And two from Psalms. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Is your delight in God's word to you? You know, when you hear God's voice, when you read God's voice, is it like that meal that Darren showed us? Not the first ones, but the last one. Is it something that causes you to delight? To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. O Lord, oh how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. Now, maybe you struggle to get into this. Or maybe you struggle to find time to tune yourself in to the voice of Jesus and the prompting of the Spirit. Before I was I had a religious phase in my life when I was a young teenager, and this was before my rebellious stage. And in this religious phase, I forced myself to read the Bible. I thought, I have to do this. This is what I'm supposed to be a Christian. I need to read the Bible. And I tried to read it. And the only Bible I thought that existed on the planet was the King James Version. So it felt like wading through thigh-deep mud. It was not easy. I didn't understand what I was reading. I read it front to back, which meant I got stuck in various bits that I didn't understand. I found it boring. I found it a duty. But when I met Jesus, he helped me. When I surrendered my life to Jesus, he gave me his Spirit to understand the words of the Father to me. And it was like the light switched on. I could see, I could understand, I could read. So I'm not encouraging you to go and force yourself to read this. Ask the Spirit to awaken your desire. Open your eyes so that this becomes life and meaning and understanding and wisdom for you. Now, Winston Churchill said this, and we are often like these people. I am, very often. He said that men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. Let's not be like that. Let's stumble over his word, his truth. Let us delight in his law. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to quicken it in our hearts so it becomes food that satisfies and nourishes and brings us the joy that we saw that little lady, yellow lady, joy up there. And I'm sure there's a peace there somewhere. An understanding and wisdom that will come from his word. The other thing that says that is the fruit of wisdom is righteousness. These verses help us to understand that wisdom lead us towards righteousness and holiness. Peter, quoting Leviticus 11 in 1 Peter, says this, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Ooh. Be holy, be upright, be blameless. Not so that You can be better than your neighbor. But let your behavior, whether it is seen or unseen, transmit and reflect his glory. D.L. Moody said that character is what a man is in the dark. We can all be very wonderful up front like this on a Sunday morning. But character is what you're like on a Monday morning. Or at about 10 o'clock last night when we realized that England were completely out of the Rugby World Cup. That's when character kicks in. Did you find joy at that point? Holiness, righteousness, they are much maligned words. You may recoil from them. They're religious, they're not relevant to today. They're often seen as the absence of something, such as the absence of sin. And sometimes we put equal sign. That equals the absence of fun. Yeah? And maybe sometimes that's deep down in you, but you still think that. But it is perhaps better to see it as the presence of something, not as the absence of something. The presence of goodness, which is a strong, powerful thing. Something that lasts. Something that doesn't fade or rust. The presence of faithfulness. The presence of love. These are things that do not decay and pass away. These are things that last for an eternity. Therefore, they mean something. They are valuable. So holiness, righteousness, is the presence of these things, not the absence of something else. The presence of peace and joy, the presence of Jesus himself. This is holiness. This is righteousness. And these things, you know, how can I be holy? How can I be holy? And the first thing is I can't, you know. But don't give up. Because holiness and righteousness, first of all, is a gift that is freely given to you and me. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to earn it. It is freely given. That robe of righteousness that we're given to wear that comes from somewhere else. So it's a gift. But it is also a fruit. It's a gift that we receive from the Lord, but it is a fruit of our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. As we cooperate, as we surrender our mind, our emotions, our bodies, our spirits to his will, holiness is the consequence. Righteousness is the consequence. And these things last forever. Hallelujah. We find in Proverbs 2 these words. Understand every good path. Keep on the straight path. Attain the path of life. Walk in the good way. Keep to the righteous paths. So wisdom is about keeping to a path. We learn that as Jesus, as the angel of the Lord, led the children of Israel through Sinai from Egypt to the promised land. And we read later that he is the good shepherd, or he is the Lord our shepherd in Psalm 23. And then in John we learn he is the good shepherd. He is our guide. He's guiding us. He's guiding you and me. If we have surrendered our lives to him, he will guide us in good paths. And as we search for him, as we learn wisdom from him, he will guide us in paths of righteousness, paths of blessing. He is our way. He is the way. He has a good plan and purpose for your life and for mine. He has anticipated your life. He's prepared for your life. He's prepared good things for you to do. In Psalm 84, we can see it in the screen in a minute. It says this, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." We are on a journey. It's not about coming from Llanelli to Penrith to Skipton to Cambridge to Bethnal Green. It's not just about that. You're on a journey with him. He has a pilgrimage for you to go on. In another version it says, "Blessed are those in whose hearts are the highways to Zion." We're on a journey, and there is a wonderful destination, which we're going to come to in a minute. The paths of the Lord bring insight and hope and vision, because we can see ahead beyond the obstacles that seem to be in front of us, the suffering and the things that we don't understand about our life today. Bring vision into the most difficult situations. We heard this just recently. This was from November 2014. These are words of an Iraqi pastor who was serving in an ISIS-controlled territory after he learned that three men in his church had been killed by ISIS for running children's programs in their homes. This is what he said. "Whenever we see disaster and tragedy, we run towards it. We see throughout history that it is in these alarming moments that God works. It is in times of war, not peace, that history is changed. Would any of your churches have ever dreamed that one day they would be full of Sunni Muslims? Our nets are breaking with those coming to know Jesus, despite, maybe because of, these terrible times." So wisdom opens up to us the paths of the Lord, which surmount the most dreadful obstacles that seem to be coming our way. Gives us vision beyond these things. Gives us hope that speak about our destiny and our future with the Lord. And what he has saved you and me to be and to do. He has a purpose for each of our lives. And we want to walk in it. And his wisdom help us to find it. And where does this journey go? Where does this path reach? Well, it reaches a land. And we read about this land towards the end of Proverbs 2. We're given this idea of living in God's land. And for Christians, the land can be equated to the kingdom, his kingdom, which is present here in part and will be there in full. We taste it, we walk in it, we experience it now in part. But we have a destination where we will embrace it and live in it. And there will be no more sin, crying, tears. They will pass away. Praise the Lord. This is the land that he has called us, is calling us towards, and calling us to live in today. This is quite an uncomfortable message today to people of our culture in this country. That the upright will live in this land and the wicked will be rejected from it. That's not very palatable in our culture, is it? But it is true to say that God gives us the desires of our heart, whoever we are. Because, do you want to live in the land of the Lord and in the presence of the one who created you and the one who loves you unconditionally? If you want that, it is yours. If you want to live apart from him, if that's your desire, it is also yours. There's freedom. But that's how it is. God pours out, he offers That meal, that last meal, that is what is on offer. A table spread before me. The picture is given there in Psalm 23 at the end. I have laid a table before you. This is how I want to bless you. If you want it, it's yours. If you don't want it, that's okay. It's your choice. Back to Psalm 84. We read a bit from there. I'm going to read some more. As it talks about this land, this place. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and a swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. How lovely is your dwelling place. I want to be there. I want to be there now. And I want to be there then. And that offer, that invitation is there to every one of us here today. However well you feel you know the Lord, or if you don't know him at all, that offer, that invitation is there. So what do we do with all this? Go back to what it says at the beginning. Turn your ear to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Call out for insight. Cry aloud for understanding. Search for hidden treasure. Now, there's a guy called Naguib Mahfouz, who's passed away now, but he was the most famous author in the Middle East, the Arab world. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature a few years ago. He said this: you can tell whether a man is clever by his answers. You can tell whether he is wise by his questions. So how do we find this wisdom? How do we search for him? We do this through asking questions. We do this through prayer. But we do this through asking questions of both men and God. It's good to talk together. But it's also good to talk with the Lord. There's a picture that God gives us of Jacob wrestling with the angel, who is in fact Jesus himself. Because he said, I wrestled with God himself. That was his claim. And God permits us to question him. Questions are okay. You can wrestle with him. You can ask him anything. You can struggle with him. You can accuse him. He's up for all of that. But just do it. Struggle with him. Contend with him. We know this because this is what Jeremiah did. In his pain and in his suffering, he was in a tight spot numerous times. And in his desperation, he accused God of deceiving him, of piercing him with his arrows. He asked the question, why was I ever born? Have you ever asked that question of yourself? Or of the Lord? Why? What's the purpose of my life? Why? What was the point? He can handle those things. But just ask him those questions. Struggle with him. This is what Jesus says in Luke. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? To ask, pray, seek, search, wrestle, struggle with him. The deeper you go, the deeper the answers you'll get. We find in Proverbs, we are introduced to two ladies. I didn't hear the last sermon you had. I don't know if it was mentioned or not. Doesn't matter, it wasn't. But in chapter 1 of Proverbs, we read about Lady Folly, who is characterized as a prostitute, an adulteress. In chapter 1, we meet Lady Wisdom. Wisdom is personified, in a sense, as a lady in Proverbs. Chapter 2 here, we read about Lady Folly, who is like a prostitute or an adulteress. And this whole book of Proverbs is contrasting these two characters, Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly. Which lady do you want to live with? It's interesting, isn't it? Because these words were written by Solomon himself, who was, for a period of his life, the wisest man around. He wrote these words, but he didn't actually end up with the right lady. He ended up with another lady. And in Proverbs, we are encouraged. Are you going to follow the Lady Wisdom, whose path leads to blessing and life? Or reject and flee from her to Lady Folly, whose ways always lead to sin, pain, and loss? The conclusion, I know that you're not going to Proverbs 31, so I can say this, because it's important. Because in Proverbs 31, we find that the writer has found the right lady. It's interesting, it isn't actually written by Samuel, it's written by somebody called King Lemuel. And he chooses the right lady, the noble wife. I find that interesting, that in this journey through Proverbs, Lady Folly, Lady Wisdom, which am I going to choose? And in the end, it's Lemuel who chooses in chapter 31, I'm going to go with Lady Wisdom, the noble wife. And perhaps this is part of the message of Proverbs, because the woman of Proverbs 31 can be seen also as the bride of Christ in Revelation. Christ, who is wisdom in Proverbs, is presented to us as the bridegroom in Revelation, who is searching for his bride, who's waiting for his bride. And the body of Christ, who is this noble wife, who has the people who've chosen Lady Wisdom, which is incidentally the theme of Song of Solomon, the other work by Solomon. And we read in Revelation 19 to 21, we read about that wedding between the wisdom and the noble wife, between Christ the bridegroom and the church the bride. Let us rejoice, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are his bride. We are the ones who choose Lady Wisdom, who become the noble wife, who are the one that the bridegroom is longing for, waiting for. Those who have accepted Christ, those who have surrendered to him, those who are walking the paths towards the land, we will be there on that day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his grace. Praise the Lord for this fine linen, these new bright clothes we have been given to wear, that we do not deserve, that we have not earned, but are freely given to you and me today. Today I stand clean before him. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for listening.